Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us, of course, every Monday morning at this time, and we talk about food, food, food. Good morning, Arthur.
Hey, Vase, Mia. Food.
Food.
Okay. Do you remember several weeks ago, more than several, we talked about saucy shrimp cocktail?
Yes, I absolutely do.
Yes. Neither of us remembered that it was saucy, but then a listener wrote to us and said, oh, yeah, in those little shrimp in sauce in a little jar, and I pointed out that my mother collected those little jars, and we used them as juice glasses. It was a diet that got me into saucy shrimp cocktail. I don't remember which diet. I've been on so many in my life. I do think it might have been early Weight Watchers, which would have been in the... But that was a little late for me, because I didn't do Weight Watchers until the late 60s, which is when it became first popular. Anyway, the whole point of this is that I'm on a diet again, and shrimp to the rescue again. It is a very good diet food. I'm not going to quote the calories, but it's very low, high protein, low fat, although I'm on a diet where you're supposed to eat a lot of fat.
Arthur, I can count the calories. 12 shrimp, regular size shrimp.
Wait, how many calories?
If they're regular size shrimp, not the super big one, but the regular size.
Well, this is it. You know, you can't go by per shrimp because, I could look this up on my phone.
It's around 15 to 20 calories a shrimp.
Per shrimp?
Yeah, per shrimp.
But that must be a big shrimp.
That's why I say 15 to 20 calories. It all depends on the size of the shrimp.
Well, but how many per pound of the shrimp? How they measure shrimp.
Yeah.
In the number per pound. Yep. For instance, I made a pound of shrimp the other day, and I counted. It was 18 shrimp. And how many shrimp per pound is 15 calories per shrimp?
Well, I had the great thing about this. I had there's a supermarket that I get my shrimp from, and when they have to mark the caloric content. I'm surprised in New York if you buy shrimp.
Wait! They have to measure the water content.
No,
the
caloric content.
Oh, the caloric content. I've never seen that.
Yeah, they have to put it on the outside of the package if you buy them.
If it's a natural product like shrimp.
Yep. Yep.
Well, I don't know. I must say, very imprecise. Here.
Yes.
In 3.5 ounces, 100 grams, you could round that up to four ounces, 100 calories.
Yeah, it's really low.
And that's, I don't know. That's not enough shrimp for me on a diet.
No.
But here, in a shrimp, in 84 calories in 3 ounces, so... You figure it out.
It's not.
It's a great, whatever it is.
It's good.
It's almost nothing.
It's music to our ears.
it's something that you could eat a lot of and not worry about the calories or the fat if you're watching fat. I'm adding fat. In fact, I'm on a terrible plateau right now. And one of the many reasons that I might be on a plateau is I'm not eating enough fat. So that calls for, shrimp scampi, which is shrimp cooked in an enormous amount of butter and garlic. By the way, that is not an Italian dish. It was actually created or popularized because, of course, the idea of shrimp with garlic and butter is certainly not original to any one person. But it was popularized by a chef on Long Island, on the North Shore of Long Island. And then became, I guess, international. I've never seen a dish like that on the menu in southern Italy, but of course, they don't use butter the way you need to for scampi. You could do, shrimp with olive oil and garlic is pretty good, too. So shrimp. I've been buying shrimp, and it's something I haven't done in a long time. I did used to buy shrimp for parties. I had a big house in Cornwall. We had a lot of parties, including family parties. And one of the things we all loved to do was to stand around my big kitchen island and peel shrimp together and dip it into sauces. I would make a bunch of different sauces. I have to say the one that was the most popular and that I still make, although not necessarily for shrimp, is the Chinese scallion and ginger dipping, dunking, finishing sauce. I don't even know what to call it. You just take a lot of chopped garlic, chopped scallion. I do this in my mini processor. I throw in the ginger, a good 3-inch hunk of ginger, nice fat 3-inch hunk of ginger peeled. Chunk it up and put it in the mini processor with a whole bunch of scallions, including all the good greens on the top. And you can cut that up into pieces before you put it in the processor. So first do the garlic, then add the scallions, then scrape it out into a heat-proof bowl. I've done this on the air before, so I know some of you have probably even tried this. And then you pour over very hot vegetable oil. I use canola, peanut oil is better. Whatever vegetable, neutral vegetable oil you use, and about a half a cup, and heat it up in a small heating pan on top of the stove. And then, as you stand back, because you don't want it could foam up. So, by the way, put the scallion and ginger in a bowl that's deep enough that if it foams up, no problem. Even just a small mixing bowl, and then pour in the hot oil. It will foam up, and you should add at least a big pinch of salt, maybe two big pinches of salt. And that's it. Let it sit until it comes to room temperature, and it's delicious. And you could dunk your shrimp into that. Add a little fat to your diet with your barely having any fat shrimp. So, almost every shrimp you see in the market has been previously frozen. Almost every shrimp comes in these big blocks, frozen shrimp, and the market defrosts it, and let's hope they sell it the day they defrost it, but, they don't always. So I don't really trust those so much. I really have to know my market is pretty reliable in this department. But if you don't have a market that's reliable, buy frozen shrimp. I mean, the ones in the market were already frozen, so you can defrost them yourself. The only thing you have to watch for when you buy frozen shrimp is that they're separate in the bag, because those kind of shrimp, if they're not separate in the bag, that means it's defrosted enough that they're sticking and then refrozen and then sticking together. That's not the same as going to Chinatown, as I used to, and buy these 5-pound blocks of frozen shrimp. I would put them in a vast, vast pot. I have a vast, vast pot. Not everybody has a pot big enough to cook 5 pounds of shrimp in a block, but in fact I do. And of course it was a dramatic copper pot, so for parties it was sensational. You bring this large, whatever amount of shrimp you're making that are frozen, truthfully, you should have a large amount of boiling water, because you want the shrimp to cook, as soon as you add frozen shrimp, of course, you're going to reduce the heat of the water, and it's going to take a little while for it to come back to the boil. Probably by the time it comes back to the boil, your shrimp are done. If you have already thawed shrimp, 3 minutes in boiling water. Truthfully, if they're tiny shrimp, 2 minutes. If they're enormous shrimp, 3.5 minutes. Maybe even if they're gigantic shrimp. Or, there was an old joke about the oxymoron jumbo shrimp. But if you have jumbo shrimp, maybe it's 4 or 5, 4 minutes. It's not going to be 5. And then you drain them. And if you're not going to eat them immediately, then run them under cold water. And it'll stop the cooking, and then you can finish the cooking when you're ready. But, you really just want, that's the way I would do it if I was eating them cold. For dipping into cocktail sauce, which I still love. It's trite, I know, but it's just ketchup and horseradish and a few shots of Tabasco, maybe a few drops of Worcestershire in there. It's sort of like a Bloody Mary mix, except there's no tomato juice. It's ketchup. And I like that, and it's it's not totally low-carb, but although there is low-carb ketchup, Heinz now makes a no-sugar-added ketchup, which is reasonably good. It's not as dense as I've done a tasting here. It's not as dense as regular ketchup, you know, classic ketchup, but it's pretty good. And if you're really counting carbohydrates, then look into it. It's not easy to find, by the way. Heinz now has a whole array of ketchup types and flavors, but the one without added sugar, I find difficult to find. My nephew gave me a shrimp recipe last week, crediting the source, which is Bon Appetit magazine. However, he thinks he got this recipe maybe 20 years ago from Bon Appetit. So I went to look it up on the internet, and they've changed the recipe. There is a recipe similar on the Bon Appetit website, but it's not the same. And truthfully, I like the one that Brian sent me, better. On the other hand, the one that Brian sent me has Greek flavors. And as I was cooking this, I was saying to myself, well, you know, this is easy enough to turn into Italian flavors if I want to, the same dish, and I'll explain in a second. But now, I don't know. Anyway, let me explain. It's shrimp cooked in tomato sauce with feta crumbled on top, and in the version Brian sent me, a nice amount of dill. I like dill for a change. You know, it gets me away from my southern Italian cooking because they don't use dill in the south of Italy. If I was making this Italian style, I would start the sauce the same way, which is sautéing a minced onion. I use a relatively small onion and two large cloves of garlic in 3 tablespoons of olive oil, and I do it slowly until the onion is really tender, but hasn't colored, so over low heat. And if you do the garlic and onion together, by the way, your garlic will not burn or even color. So do it slowly with 3 tablespoons of oil, and then add a 28-ounce can of either peeled tomatoes, which is what I always use, but if you buy chopped tomatoes are good, you know, not tomato puree. And if you're going to use chopped tomatoes, buy a brand that they're not chopped too fine. But anyway, I use a can of whole tomatoes, and I chop them up in the pot with the onion and garlic and oil with the side of a wooden spoon or whatever. You can use a potato masher if you want. I have wooden forks that I find do a great job of mashing up tomatoes in the pan. And then to make it taste Greek, add 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon and 1/4 teaspoon of allspice. And simmer your sauce until it's pretty thick. It takes about 15 minutes. I cooked mine in a 10 and a half inch wide deep skillet, meaning it's a saute pan, a straight-sided open pan, and you get the best evaporation from a 10-inch skillet. And the thing is, once you add the shrimp, your skillet may not be deep enough to accommodate everything. So I used my saute pan, which was more than deep enough. The original recipe calls for you to cook this in a saucepan, and it takes good 20 minutes, they say, in a saucepan. And as I said, in an open skillet, it takes 15 minutes. Add a nice little perky simmer, stirred once or twice. You'll see, by the way, the oil breaking out at the edge of the pan, and then you'll know that you're getting a nice thick sauce. So once the sauce is done, you add your shrimp. I used 1 pound, because we're only 2 people, and that was a very large portion, I have to say, 9 shrimp. There were 18 shrimp in this pound. And I added the shrimp and sprinkled on 3/4 cup of crumbled feta cheese. And then I'm sure the recipe didn't call for this, but I used about 1/4 cup of chopped dill on top of that. Did I say, of course, the sauce had salt and pepper besides the cinnamon and allspice? In fact, I used one of my tiny Calabrian peppers, hot peppers, in this dish. If you like hot pepper, it accommodates hot pepper. You could use up to like even if you really like hot pepper, a half a teaspoon of crushed red pepper flakes, and put that in the sauce. Cook it into the tomatoes. And then add the shrimp, the feta on top, the dill on top, and then it goes in a 375-degree oven. Mine took 20 minutes. My 18-to-the-pound shrimp took a solid 20 minutes. They were just perfectly done. If you have smaller shrimp, it probably won't take a full 20 minutes. And if you have really big shrimp, it's going to take more than 20 minutes. So you're going to have to be the judge. Really delicious dish. If you want to make it Italian, I was thinking about this earlier, what cheese would I use? I would do everything the same, except I would leave out the cinnamon and allspice. And instead of dill, I would put oregano or fresh basil, if you have it, in the sauce with the shrimp. And then, there's this Italian thing, and it's not Italian American at all, that you don't combine cheese and seafood. But that's a fallacy. And I think that whole deal started with Marcella Hazan in the 1970s. And Marcella, being from the coastal area of Emilia-Romagna, knew plenty about fish and also knew plenty about Parmigiano Reggiano, which is the cheese of the queen of cheeses from her region. And, Parmigiano does not go with fish or seafood. But in the South, where sheep's milk cheeses and sharp aged cheese like provolone, salty cheeses, prevail, you would not put grated pecorino on your Alfredo, and just like you wouldn't put Parmigiano on a dish of steamed mussels. But they might do that in Puglia, where they have sensational mussels. They might put a grated, sharp, salty cheese on top. So that's what I was thinking this morning. So if I wanted to make this dish, the shrimp in tomato sauce, I would use a nice, sharp provolone. And I've had shrimp with provolone. It's a good combination, actually. There's a restaurant in Rome that tries to defy this rule and has quite a few dishes of seafood and fish with cheese. So that's a rule that's worth breaking. Shrimp. So back to the shrimp. It's such a great diet food because it's low in calories, and if you're fat phobic, it has practically no fat. I know the old thing about shrimp was that they were high in cholesterol, but that was in the days before we understood that our blood cholesterol levels are more related to fat consumption, particularly saturated fat consumption, such as the fat associated with red meat, then the cholesterol that's in seafood, lobster. When I say seafood, I mean things other than
shellfish,
white fish,
yeah.
Or tuna fish or any fin fish, I guess is what we should call them. So, and a lot of, by the way, when I was making this shrimp with the feta and the dill, which, as I said, I will make again, I was thinking maybe next time, instead of shrimp, I use big chunks of thick cod. I must say, cod is one of the least expensive fish right now. Not always. And for whatever reason, I don't know. I haven't checked this out. I'm sure there's a reason. And if you get thick pieces, they cook very beautifully in tomato sauce. I do this frequently. This is just a little different tomato sauce than I usually make because of the cinnamon and allspice. See, look now, it's just 3/4 of a teaspoon of seasoning. changes the country. That makes the dish. And so it's funny because the Bon Appetit recipe that's on their website now has Italian seasoning and not this Greek seasoning. But Brian says he makes this all the time, and I can see why, because even start to finish, you know, he works until, he makes dinner every night after work. Both he and his wife are doctors, and who knows when they get home, but he usually gets home to make dinner. And this is something really quick. I mean, even from start to finish making the tomato with the tomato sauce, we're talking certainly less than an hour. But that said, make the tomato sauce ahead. You can let it sit. And then bring it back to a simmer when you're ready to add the shrimp. Add your shrimp. You should prep your feta cheese ahead of time. And also chop up some dill ahead of time, and then really it's just a matter of sticking it in the oven. It's a really good and by the way, I would think a good company dish for the same reason. Now, I only used a pound of shrimp, but I think this sauce could accommodate 1.5 pounds of shrimp. There was we're not eating any starch. I really was craving some crusty bread with this. It really would be good with bread. I was thinking pasta. Nah, it's not a pasta thing for me. Potato, not really. Rice, I can see. If you want to flesh this out with a carbohydrate. But I think the ideal thing is some really good bread to mop up sauce with. And what else? And a salad.
Now, you're talking about when people are listening that they go to supermarkets and they see pre-made shrimp. You're talking about frozen shrimp that you're going to make yourself.
Oh, no, right? not pre-cooked.
Yeah.
Let's get to that for just a minute.
Yeah.
So, there is a lot of different shrimp out there now. Most shrimp are coming either from Ecuador or Thailand, and they're farm-raised. You know what? They're all inspected. I trust it. Are the shrimp terrific? No. Are they okay? Sure. I have lately been buying never frozen shrimp from the Gulf, and a month or so ago, or 2 months ago, I was getting those same kind of shrimp from South Carolina, which is as north as those shrimp go. Those shrimp, I have to say, have the edge, and the ones I've been buying have never been frozen. But even if they have been frozen, even if they are frozen, and you can buy Gulf shrimp frozen, they are better. They're more expensive. They have more real good shrimp flavor. That said, we used to get shrimp that were often iodized. I haven't had an iodized shrimp in many years, so I'm thinking that the distribution process has probably gotten better so that they don't defrost and refreeze. I don't really know the answer to that, except that I don't worry about it anymore. However, if you're buying shrimp that are already thawed, then smell them. You will smell the iodine. I mean, you have to ask the fish guy. Don't buy them packed under plastic, because they could really reek when you open the plastic. I wouldn't do that. I only buy shrimp that I can smell. So that's or frozen shrimp in a bag. They're very good. We get something around here called rock shrimp.
Yep.
Which you get rock shrimp up by you?
Yep.
You still have the fish man, the fish truck?
He died, but his wife.
Oh.
No. This is what they carried on the tradition, and they're still here every week.
Well, I can still say, about the fish man.
Yeah, though. Yeah, he died. Everybody knew him. Everybody in the world knew that guy.
I knew him. and I haven't been up there in a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm talking about fresh shrimp. Sometimes they're out of their shell. I mean, they're all previously frozen, so that you can buy them without shells. Maybe just with the tail shell on, and if you're doing them with dipping sauces, those are perfectly fine. If you're putting them into a dish, that's something else. For instance, I make Chinese-style scrambled eggs with shrimp. this is a dish that I used to get in a restaurant in Queens that did it sublime, and I still dream about it, but now I can make it, and I've gotten pretty good at it. I've talked about that on the radio. It's easy. Should I do it again? I don't think I have any time for that.
Now we've got about
but anyway,
the
other thing is deveining or not to devein. I do not devein.
I was going to ask you that. Do you devein
it's
or not?
It's too much trouble.
I found that if
I'm butterflying the shrimp for whatever reason, I would do that. Or they're really gigantic shrimp with a disgusting-looking vein, and I don't have to do too many because they're so big. I'll devein. But for the most part, I don't devein. And for the most part, I don't even see veins. I don't know about these farm-raised shrimp, what they do to make the veins like not exist, but they don't hardly. And then there's white shrimp and gray shrimp. I find in general, whatever the waters it comes from, the white ones usually taste a little better than the gray ones. But, you know, shrimp vary so much, I'm finding, now that I'm eating a lot of shrimp, I can say that I don't think that generality always works.
You know, it's funny with deveining. I do devein my shrimp, I do. But then again, I only buy enough shrimp, like 12 or 13 for myself, so it's just when I do it, so it's not a lot. But I use a small shrimp fork for that. I do. It goes in.
There are gizmos
yeah.
for that, too.
Yeah.
In fact, there are gizmos for shelling shrimp. Here's a little sidebar. I save shrimp shells in the freezer. If you're not cooking the shrimp in the shell, which is actually preferable, and then sit and peel them and eat them, they taste best that way. But if you're peeling them ahead of time, like for shrimp and eggs, I can't put in shrimp in their shells, save the shells. They make a very good broth. So you boil them up. That's all you have to do is just boil them up. And you could do, by the way, you could do that before you put them in the freezer and put the broth in the freezer. So just cover them with water and boil it until the water has some flavor, and you can add a pinch of salt. And it could be the base of a chowder or a sauce of some kind. I'll think of uses, but I always do.
Well, there's two ways I love shrimp. I like shrimp scampi, and I love it in fresh-made cocktail sauce, yeah.
Yeah, I love a shrimp cocktail. I don't think I should be embarrassed by that.
You know, my shrimp story...
I have a friend who thinks it's embarrassing that I like shrimp cocktail.
My shrimp story goes like this. The first time I got married, out of the many times, I said I wanted to make sure there was shrimp cocktail, right? A big bowl of shrimp, and I didn't get any. So the second time I got married, it was at the Interlake, and I said to Kevin Biscay, now, Kevin, you can put shrimp out for the people. I want a separate bowl on my table because my first marriage, I didn't get any shrimp.
Well, you could have had them for the divorce.
That's about all I could eat.
Celebrate the divorce.
That's about all I could eat after the divorce.
So what do you put in your cocktail sauce?
I do it.
Where do you buy it?
There's two ways. If I'm going to buy it, I buy it from Le Bon's because they make it there. And they make it very spicy. Oh, it's good. It's tomatoey, it's sweet and spicy. But if I make it myself, I do it the old-fashioned way. I buy white horseradish, all right?
Yep.
And then I chintz out and I get Heinz 57 ketchup. And
right.
I use that as a base.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And then I just add, you know, dashes of Tabasco.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And a tiny bit of Worcestershire.
Any type of hot sauce you like that you want to add to it.
I'm a fan of Tabasco. I know it's fashionable to put down Tabasco. Even in New Orleans, they put down, it's a Louisiana product, but not from New Orleans, it's from, I forget the name of the island. And in any case, they make fun of it in New Orleans because they say it's international, not local.
I use Tabasco sauce. I don't use all these newfangled things. I use Tabasco sauce.
No, I do. I do too. Right. Well, you know, if I'm eating Mexican food, I have some Mexican hot sauce.
Well, it's different, but Don, yeah, but
yeah, I want that different flavor. Is it chula or?
I forget, but it's Tabasco sauce.
Right. That actually might be good on shrimp. And this week, I'm going to play with Thai red curry paste, which I only recently discovered you could buy in the supermarket. I'm not sure what I'm doing with it yet, but I tasted it. It has wonderful flavor, and it's not that hot. So we'll see. I'm not sure. I could probably make a wonderful shrimp curry, couldn't I?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Everything I've read about these products you can buy in the supermarket say, well, this is all by Thai people. They say, well, it's okay, but add some freshly grated ginger and garlic to it to doctor it up. So that's probably what I'm going to, that's my beginning.
All right.
All right. Well, anyway, enjoy your shrimp.
And we will speak to
however
you next
week. However you eat them.
And we'll speak to you next week.
Take care.
Take care, Arthur. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.